Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. And welcome to the program Youth Station on IRIB English Radio. Please accept our condolences for the month of Muharram. This is Sayyid Mustafa, your host, and with me today is...
I'm Brother Muzaffar.
Welcome, Brother Muzaffar. So we've been discussing different personalities that were present, you know, that are related to the month of Muharram and Ashura.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when we're... You know, when we're talking about the youth of Karbala, I think there is one very, very clear and shining example, and that is of the son of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Hazrat Ali Akbar. And I think, you know, there's just so many lessons that we can take away from each one of these personalities, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, always, Hazrat Ali Akbar is kind of like the most symbolic of the youth.
Really?
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Why?
For me, no. Aliun al-Akbar has always been a bit of an enigma for me. I don't know.
What do you mean?
He's... Okay, so the other personalities in when they're giving the masaib about Imam Hussein,
mm-hmm.
They all have some sort of trait that makes them very different and unique. Like, for example, Hazrat Abbas, he had a flag. He was the flag bearer.
Sure.
Sayyidah Zainab, you know... Muslim ibn Aqil, he was the ambassador, he was alone, you know. Hazrat Qasim, he was young, you know.
Yeah.
Aliun al-Akbar, no, I don't know.
So we have different traditions which age in between, anywhere between 18 and 26 or 27,
mm-hmm.
right? So whichever age you take, you know, I would say that would make him like in the prime of his youth, right? And it's also maybe a cultural thing, right? I think a lot of the lectures or the discussions that I heard too, they always refer to him as kind of like that 18-year-old youth, right?
Yeah, but I recently heard that, you know, actually he was significantly older.
Oh,
even
really?
His name indicates that, Aliunin.
All right, well, let's not get into this discussion because I don't have enough knowledge about his age.
Yeah, you're right. Okay? No, let's not get into it.
So let's try to focus on him.
But see, the personality. Okay, there are some things that have now recently stood out to me about him. I know, I feel completely ashamed at this, ashamed. But, you know, this is what we were raised with when we were younger.
Uh-huh.
You know, our focus was a lot on Hazrat Abbas, alayhi salam, and on the other shuhada of Karbala. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much on Hazrat Ali Akbar, or maybe it was, but I didn't pay attention when I was a kid. I don't know.
But, you know, some of the things that I do know about him
I'm really eager
him.
To find out, yeah.
Yeah, you know, one is they say that from the Bani Hashim, he was the first to go to fight, you know, and Imam Hussein sent him as the first, as his kid to fight. We have different traditions about that as well. I don't want to argue about them, but I think the point I want to make here is that, you know, one aspect of his is that, you know, his relationship to Imam Hussein was, apart from him being his imam, he was also his father, right? So what you find is that he wasn't only loyal to him just as the imam, he was loyal to him as a son, right? And Imam Hussein took pride in the fact that his son went and to die. And I think that's very important for our youth today as well, is to be able to have that relationship with your father, right? Mm. Have that loyalty relationship to your father in the way that Hazrat Ali Akbar had to his father. So that's what do you think about that?
Yes and no. See, it gets complicated, brother.
Because sure, go ahead.
You have to have a father like Imam Hussein alayhi salam to have that kind of loyalty to him. Otherwise, that kind of loyalty is not justifiable for any father. But no. At the same time, I do see where you're coming from. That loyalty, there is something special and beautiful in it, and we do need to train ourselves to have that love and that respect for our parents. But it has to be for the sake of Islam. You know, if, God forbid, you know, the imam of the time is saying one thing and your father is saying another thing, You have to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the reason I have to point this out is because a lot of youths face this issue, mm-hmm. and it causes a lot of confusion for them. There are too many places where fathers are telling their children to do things which are contrary to the deen. Just yesterday night, unfortunately, I got a message from a youth who was asking, look, you know, I'm on a train journey. Should I pray my prayer? It's going to be really inconvenient. I don't even know the right direction. The train's moving and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's people watching. Or shall I let it go qada? I'm going to read you the message.
Sure.
Hold on. I have to read you the reply because I want to show you how not to reply.
Okay.
I said, you retard. How many times do I have to tell you? Because he said the word terabinga. He said, should I read my prayers terabinga?
What does terabinga mean?
Terabinga. In our slang, it just means like, you know, backwards, forwards, you know, left, right.
Is this like British slang or some other language?
No, it's Indo-Pak.
Oh, okay.
I said, that is the way Allah wants you to pray. Qada is for losers. Never qada. Never ever qada, inshallah. Your Mawla Hussein, do you think he couldn't have said, you know, I'll pray at qada? He prayed when arrows were flying at him. Uh-huh. Here you are in 2020 asking if the minor convenience of a train changing is enough of an excuse. Be ashamed. Maybe it's a good way to do it. But my point is this. He came back at me and he said, look, I thought that that was the right answer, but then I saw that my dad wasn't, you know, and he was saying, just let it go, qada, and we'll pray normally at home.
Yeah.
It provides a serious confusion for them. Remember, this is the Ahlul Bayt. We are hoping to Ahlul Bayt. We have no hopes in the hereafter. They are the ones who have told us that if you take your prayers lightly, their shifa'ah will not reach you.
Okay. Fair point. Okay. Yeah.
So anyway, I didn't want to bash the whole point because I know where you're coming from, but I feel we need to clarify this for the brothers.
But I do think, you know, for those fathers who do, for example, encourage the youth towards, you know, the right path or the righteousness, in that point, you should be then loyal to your father, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, one of the things that we've talked about it is, you know, I think it's very difficult to not talk about this over and over again, is the idea that these people were not afraid of death, right? And one of the lessons we have, for example, a famous one, I don't want to go too much into it, I'm sure many of our listeners know this, is that when, you know, Imam Hussein had they were on their journey to Karbala, and Imam Hussein had a short, he fell asleep for a few minutes, and when he woke up, he said, "Inna Allahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." And Hazrat Ali Akbar, he heard this and he said, "You know what happened?" And he said, "You know, I'm seeing that we're going towards our death." Right? Mm. I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
And at that point, you know, Hazrat Ali Akbar then asked him, "You know, but Father, are we like not on the truth? You know, are we not supporting the truth?" And the Imam replied, "Yes. You know, I swear we are, and we're going to return to it." So the reply that he had, and you know, in Urdu, one of the Noha reciters, he's taken this reply of Hazrat Ali Akbar and he's turned it into like a very catchy kind of slogan or Noha, right? And which was, in English, it says, he said that, you know, it makes no difference if death comes to us or if we approach death as long as we are right. So the core message for me here for our youth is that, you know, if you are on the right path, don't be afraid of death or don't be afraid of, you know, continuing, because in life, there will be people who will, you know, tell you, stop doing this, you know, you know, because you'll get arrested or like, you know, you don't want to risk your life for this. But here we see they're risking everything, right? And Hazrat Ali Akbar kind of symbolizes that for me.
Subhanallah, brother, that is so touching. I want to break it down a little bit here for the youths. So because death is like the ultimate vision, that's the ultimate sacrifice that one can make, you know. Let's break it down. Look, when we're talking about death, look, whether death comes to me or I go towards death, let's talk about the very simple things. What are things that make you afraid? For you, sometimes it's, you know, what if I put my hand up and I ask a question and it's a silly question and everybody laughs at me? You know,
right.
Sometimes they're afraid of doing that.
Yeah,
you know, something very, very simple, which inshallah you will grow out of. But sometimes they're stuck at these things. You know,
sure.
A bully. You're facing a bully. You know, there's bullying taking place. You know that somebody else is being oppressed. in the classroom, they're upset, they're crying themselves to sleep, and you know that it, you're supposed to do something about it, but fear is holding you back. A friend of yours has stolen something or is doing drugs. You know that you need to inform somebody about this, but fear is holding you back. What will people say about me, etc.?
Excellent.
That's, you know, these are small things. If we can pass these tests, then Allah will take us to a place where we won't even fear death anymore.
Great, great point. Yeah, definitely.
There is really a heartbreaking moment, which is in the maqtal of Lahuf, where Ali ibn al-Akbar comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and he asks him for permission. Like you said, he was the first of the Bani Hashim to actually do this, because at this point Imam Hussein, he turns around and he sees that nobody is actually left. All of the companions have gone and it's only his Ahlul Bayt who are left. It's only his family. And so Ali ibn al-Akbar is the first of those who says, I want to go. And it actually says that at this point, many of the daughters, the sisters, they come over. Sayyida Zainab, salamullah alayha, she comes over, they grab him and they say, please don't leave. What are we going to do if you go? All of the men have left, and you know, you're our hope after Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And so at this point he says, no, I have to. He actually, you know, imagine that that's happening. It's so difficult to say to your mother, for example, or to say to your sister that, look, I have to go, and just leave them. But he does that at that point. And remember, this is the Ahlul Bayt. We're not talking about cold-hearted individuals. It's easy to do things when you have a heart of stone. The Ahlul Bayt, their hearts were soft, and that's what makes this so painful.
Right.
They felt everything. So anyway, he gets permission finally from Imam Hussein. In fact, even Imam Hussein, who's the Imam of the time, at this point, he turns around and he says, how can I let you go? You are my son. And yet, Ali ibn al-Akbar, he leaves, you know, and he takes permission from his father, from Imam Hussein, and he goes and he fights. And as he's fighting, it is said that he kills 100 men. Then it goes up to 200 men. He truly fought with the spirit of his father and with the strength of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And it got to a point where he's human at the end of the day. This is something that we forget, because we get told these incredible feats and these incredible numbers. They were true, but they were also human. And he feels this incredible thirst. And he goes back to his father and he says, I'm really thirsty. He says, you know, I can endure everything, but this thirst is killing me. Mm-hmm. And with that, he continues on fighting. I mean, if you just think about it for a moment, that is incredible. Yep. Actually incredible.
And I think, you know, whenever I listen to these kind of stories from Karbala, it helps me face my own petty hardships in life, right? Things that I'm seeing as being very difficult in my life, they become very small, and you know, they're no longer as hard, right?
We honestly turn around, we look at ourselves, where are we, brother?
Right.
It makes us ashamed. It makes us so ashamed of where we are.
And sometimes, you know, when you're young in your youth, what you find is that you know, a lot of the difficulties in your life, they become really, really big for you, right? They become really large for you, and your life becomes kind of like surrounded by those problems. And that's why I remember whenever Muharram came around, I used to forget my own problems, right?
Subhanallah.
I was able to solve my problems by listening to these stories. And that's why it's so important to remind ourselves of these stories, right? They help you. I mean, alhamdulillah, I mean, they help you in your own personal life so much. And that's why it's so important to stay connected to these personalities, to stay reminded of them. Because the alternative that's available to us, if we don't stay reminded to this, is those kind of personalities that the West gives to us, right? People gravitate towards some personalities or ideals, right? They need people to look up to, and what better people to look up to than people like Ali Akbar and Imam Hussein and his companions? So thank you so much for listening, brothers and sisters, to this episode. And please, accept our condolences in this month of Muharram and stay connected to Karbala and pray for us as well. Fi amanillah.
My love, my life, my days, my nights, my wealth, my prayers are for you. Now I know how it's like to have your precious love in my life. Now I know how it feels to finally be at peace inside. I wish that everybody how amazing it feels to love you. I wish that everyone could see how your love has set me free. Set me free and made me strong.